You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. We do live stream our meetings, so these are, we are playing. Minutes to be accepted, September 4th is our town board monthly meeting, and September 19th is our town board committee meeting. I need a motion.
Motion.
Motion from Paul.
Second.
Second from Jared, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are accepted. County resolutions that we've been notified on are 225-18, which is awarding the bid on number 2 diesel fuel. 226-18 is awarding the bid on gasoline. And then we also got our amounts due the county treasurer on chargebacks. Catskill's share, $16,313.88.
So the only thing with the diesel is our bid now is without any additive, because we're doing our own.
Okay.
So just be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we, Sean gives it.
Sean gives it from, right. But the ambulance.
But we're back to Costco, so as the bid.
Without the additive.
Without the additive.
Without the additive. Okay. Do we have to tell anybody that, or we're good to go?
We can let George know.
Well, we're adding it to the tanks. This is the bid to piggyback off of.
Okay.
Our bid for the fuel.
Yeah.
But it's going to, like I said, it's straight diesel. There's no kerosene in it for the winter. So it's going to be a little more. Sean gets it with the kerosene is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's really not, I think he's actually going to have to put it out to bid himself.
Okay.
If he wants it different.
And the rationale on why, and do we have to have that discussion
cold
at the departmental meeting?
Yeah, it's short.
Cold weather. Okay, got it. All right. Correspondence. The post-closure landfill report came in. These are done, as you know, quarterly and yearly. The summary was that nothing has changed. So this is, Dawn, for your, this is this big. It comes in from an engineering firm that we are obligated to work with through the life of the closure, which I think is 2022 or 2023. Last year we asked them how long after 2022, 23, and they really didn't have an answer. They've really never had a situation where it's gotten to that point yet. The purpose is obviously for us to understand it is there's a significant amount of funding. This costs us about, I think, $36,000 a year, and it's done with a total of five
tanks.
Yeah, so everybody pays into this, and at one point it was in excess, well in excess of $1 million. And the way the contract reads is if all five towns agree, you can, quote, draw on that fund. So what I was trying to figure out is because it's sitting there, again, if we have 10 years left, it's not like having 30 years left, how much more of that money should we, you know, save for this type of thing, which is the $36,000 a year? Or can we take another distribution? So I asked Kirsten to get those figures together just for us to take a look at.
Yeah, weren't they going to do some testing over the summer to kind of...
Well, they did, and we're pretty much everywhere we need to be, but they didn't do anything about, there's nothing in here about sunsetting, so I think what I'd like to do is call, this is Jordan, it's Barton Logodich, and the guy's been doing this with us for a very long time. They did come out, do you remember they came out?
Yeah,
and we
right, well,
it.
That's what I remember. I
when the DEC came out, too, and there was two people poking around the landfill this summer, I think.
Well, one of them was they were checking for that PFOAs.
Yeah.
But the other one, we had asked them to come out and kind of give us
an
estimate.
Yeah, we're trying to give a feel for when.
But I don't ever remember seeing them give a report or anything.
They never did. They were. It got caught up in the, gee, we've never really closed one of these before, so we don't know whether you would, you know, we're going to ask you to monitor forever or we could stop monitoring. So when did it close? Do you remember?
92.
Yeah. And so it is, so it's 2022, right? That's 9 through 12, that's 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
30 years of monitoring after closure. So, as I said, everything is consistent. Probably should go back at them again and ask them if they have a sunset now? Because now we're 4 years away. And my instinct is they're going to say keep monitoring. Yeah. Ad infinitum.
I mean, I guess it all depends on what they're pumping out of there every week. You know, if it dries up and there's nothing coming out.
Well, that's the other, yeah. Yep. That's the other thing is it's the leachate that gets treated by mm-hmm. the village. So, all right. So the two follow-ups are how much money's in there and do they have any further information on what happens post-sunset 2022? Senior Angels Program from the Greene County Department. I think we've all, this is around holiday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elderly and limited income clients who could use a special gift during the holiday season. If we could scan that and just put it on our website so everyone knows about it. The year-end audit from Patterson Kosky. This came from Patterson Kosky regarding their in receipt. They have to do the audit. This is required by the Office of Courts Administration. So we have given the okay through the judges, contact the court clerk, and that process that's audited every year. So that's underway. Letter from Senator Schumer regarding funding for school districts in the Farm to School Grant Program. I sent that off to all our colleagues that have things to do with schools, the Catskill Central District and Community Center, etc. Letter from Cornell Cooperative Extension announcing their first ever project for natural resource inventory. The invitation from Greene County Veterans Agency for this year's Honor a Vet Memorial Ceremony. This year we're honoring Seaman First Class Alfred Van Schaik, Jr. on November 3rd at 10 a.m. at the Catskill Point Warehouse. Is the 3rd a... Is it a Saturday? Okay. So I'm sure we'll... those of us that are available will be in attendance. RUPCO announcement regarding a new housing project, the Muse at Prattsville for seniors and families with modest incomes. They just asked us to post that in case there were folks that were interested. Hudson Valley Resource Group, Inc., regarding payroll processing. That's our group that's doing our payroll. That fee remains unchanged for 2019. We also have a letter from the Greene County Legislature requesting two certified copies of the town's annual budget for 2019 by November 19th, which is consistent with the dates that we're all aware of. Sina Cutson has invited us to a water infrastructure forum at Marist on October 23rd from 4 to 5:30. We have a letter from Greene County Tourism regarding the newly established Film in Greene for future media productions occurring in our county. They've actually put a fair amount of meat around that. I don't know if I... Did I scan this and send this? I can't remember.
No,
I don't think I did. I probably should because obviously we want to attract production crews, but they would like to ensure that each town reviews all of the logistics, et cetera, to make sure that it's a good fit. I think we learned a little bit from our first and second encounter. But these are some good steps. In any event, anybody who wants to film in our town will come to the board, which they had been. So I'll scan that and send that to everybody. And then if somebody wants to be the point on that, you know, when somebody comes in, we can work through. And then we got a nice letter from the town support for Breaking AIDS Ride, which came through our community. They returned a net of over $220,000 to Housing wow. Works. So they did a nice job. They rode the bicycles more than 300 miles from Cooperstown to New York City to raise funds for Housing Works, which is a housing organization down the city for people with HIV and AIDS. I used to work with it. It's a great organization. Okay. I can't laugh, but under new business,
the Deputy Dog.
The creation of Deputy Dog.
What do you use to say?
Deputy Dog.
Deputy Dog.
D-A-W-G.
I used to call Tom Plank.
Yeah, he was the beagle, right? With
he
the
was
long,
the beagle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deputy Animal Control Officer?
We'll do something, yes, because I'll never do it with a straight face again.
Technically not animal, because
he only
takes care of dogs.
Oh, dog care.
So this was an idea recommended by our current dog control officer, Aaron Klaus. And what Aaron had said was when there was extra time, he was away, etc., he usually has another officer cover for him. And he thought, you know, why don't we make it official, have consistent hours, divide it in half. The only thing we would have to do would be to create the position, and then we could add a second individual to payroll, and then they would cover the hours. And it's someone who is currently employed. I don't want to say her name until we get through the official review process, but we need a motion to create the position.
So we're just going to cut his in half?
Cut his salary in half.
Yeah.
And motion. What is it, 7,000 or 5,000?
Yeah. 7,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. 300 something. So we would split that.
Motion.
Any other questions before we? No. Nope. Motion from Jared. Second?
Second.
Second from Patrick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Excellent. We have a deputy dog control officer. Let's make sure we let Aaron know tomorrow.
Well, we have the position. We didn't appoint the person.
I'm sorry. We have a position.
Right.
Yes, we have it. Let him know we have a position, okay. And then we'll go through the next steps of the process. I believe there is a little bit more work we have to do in terms of civil service.
Right. Yep.
So we'll make sure we do that with a straight face. The sign law. I did circulate it. This came up about as a result of a situation where we really didn't have an answer to a need regarding a directional sign, which then led to Elliot and Michael looking at the overall sign law. I sent you two copies. One is in yellow where it outlines the changes. And how would you like to review it, guys? Are there questions you have, or?
The only comment slash question I have is the 3-minute limit to for it to change. Is that a little long?
You could definitely make the argument that it is.
Because if somebody has a scrolling sign and they're trying to advertise whatever, but it can only flash once every 3 minutes, that might be a little long.
You're
But I also don't.
Hundreds of cars going past in 3 minutes.
I don't know what an appropriate time limit would be, or if a time limit would even be appropriate to put on there.
I guess the question is a sign that doesn't have any limits of distraction for motorists.
Has it been? Has that come up as an issue ever?
I don't think we have many flashing signs.
Well, I don't think we have.
Well, we're starting to have the ones like in front of the fire department. I can think of the two in Kiskatom, right? The one at the church. Are those the ones we're talking about? They're electronic and they.
There's one at the school, right?
Yeah.
A perfect example of a sign is on Route 9W going south into Kingston.
Just before there, yeah.
And just before there, and it is.
It's a billboard.
Computer generated. It's interactive, and you'll have advertisers on there for I'm not sure what the period of time is, but there's probably a half a dozen advertisers, and it's on a wheel.
So right. And they look better than the ones that were they're all nasty and the signs are falling off them.
Yeah, we're talking signs though, not billboards, because I've been down the road with fighting billboards and you lose.
It's actually probably close to the dimensions of a billboard.
Yeah, it's Lang's digital billboards.
Yeah.
Paul's Pizza in Punxsutawney has a,
yep.
You know, shows you the dishes.
It's like a monument sign.
A lot of restaurants can use them.
So
technically the way it's been enforced now is that, you know, it was considered an animated sign which was prohibited.
Right.
I did find some language, I think, when Anthony's proposed the sign that John Cashin said that it was no bigger changes than a half an hour, which I thought was, you know,
yeah, basically making it useless.
And, you know, I found formulas on the, you know, in research here, and, you know, some, it will give you a change of a matter of seconds, 10 mm-hmm. seconds, you know. So,
I mean, I don't see where it would be any more distracting than when you're driving past and you're looking at the sign that doesn't move versus one that
is scrolling, right, flashing.
So is there precedent in other communities in your research that actually have a time on this?
No, that actually most of them, the ones I saw, prohibited them.
Completely.
Yeah.
My only question is, since does New York State DOT have a ruling on them?
Not that I've found.
Because, as we all know, going up to Thruway, the state even has.
This actually is an emerging technology, and in connection with the amendment of the law, and actually it was that sign on 9W that I looked at that Elliot and I decided that we needed to address the issue, because if it's not here now, it will be here soon. And in our research, virtually no municipalities address this issue.
It would be a mischaracterization to refer to it like a scrolling message. It's like watching a TV on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big billboards, what you're talking about,
yeah,
right, versus the what we're used to as far as what's in front of the firehouses and churches and places like that.
Yeah, it's not just time and, mm-hmm. and weather anymore, it's, you
know,
so it's like a TV message.
For the billboards, from my understanding, the state gets revenue from them for allowing them to be on, like the ones on 9W, the state gets a revenue for them from the advertiser.
Correct.
So how would the state react to us creating such a law? Could they override it?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question.
The billboards are mandated by the state, especially the ones on a state highway. The state gets revenue from them. So if I want to put a billboard up on 9W, the state gets a certain percentage, whatever that may be.
Are you saying they get a percentage even though the sign is not on their, within their right of way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we should check into that. I'm only saying that because when I was on the village board, we tried to pull the billboards down in the village. We lost that battle.
Really?
Because the state governs them.
Well, these are not a billboard because the signs we're talking about are advertising for the business that is the sign is on. The sign is on the property that it's advertising. So it's not.
So that's why I'm getting confused, because you're saying billboard.
Right, you said billboard, and now you're saying it's not a billboard.
I never use the word billboard. I don't believe that.
You're thinking that we need to regulate the signs that are in front of a business that are stating what they're offering.
That I'm saying.
Like, perfect example is the one in front of Paul's Pizza and Cook's.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Is that distracting?
Which is in a busy intersection. I'd like to know what Kotaki. Does Kotaki have anything on the books about
that? Obviously from the sign, they don't.
I mean, the challenge that we have is, I think it's got to be a happy medium. And I have no idea where to put a stake in the ground. 3 minutes, 2 minutes, no minutes. Because the challenge is.
Just sit there and time.
Yeah. And do these signs come with controls in the back of them? Is that how they can?
Computer. Yeah, they're all computerized.
So
some of them.
The only thing I want to avoid is getting into the situation that we did, where we can't turn that light off on that road.
You know, one of
yeah.
Oh,
we did get it turned off.
Is it off now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Because we previously amended the sign law that
12 hours on, 12
half an hour after they close, and then
right.
Get
yeah.
on before they open.
Okay. I mean, again, we don't want to. A sign advertising Paul's Pizza, I don't know, I keep on bringing it up, but that's fine. But something that's flashing constantly all hours of the night, that would absolutely be distracting
right.
to drivers.
Yeah.
So to regulate that, sure, but I know there's no time limit on that. That thing's flashing all the time.
Right.
Advertising different things on the menu.
And it gives an animated appearance.
Yep.
And I don't find, I mean, the one, two others I could think of in front of the church and the firehouse, I don't find distracting. It's pretty much basically the times of worship at the church and what they have going on.
Right.
And that isn't restricted by the proposed amendment.
Yeah. No, but what he's saying is he doesn't find it distracting. I don't see...
But they wouldn't have to do anything as a result of this.
What we're basically trying to do is to set something up for down the road if this does come to us, is what you're saying.
Correct. I mean, there are, I won't call them billboards, but because we don't really have that in our definitions here, but it's a very large sign on 787 that, you know, it's a 20-foot by 10-foot TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are new billboards. That's the new design of a billboard. Now they're doing them electronically rather than having people come out and...
Right, so we may end up with some of those here.
We have no control.
But we would have no control over on our roads that are state highways already.
Well, if they're on private property, we have to say.
No. Not if it's New York State.
If it's on private property, it's not New York State. It's...
I'd suggest looking into that a little bit.
Sure. Okay.
You know, one of the other things that we have done in terms of the amendment of the law was to clarify that the zoning board has the authority to review requests for use variances and area variances. And that wasn't in the law before, though presumably it was implicit, but we made it explicit. And the other thing is, there was all of these, there was discussion about a application for a sign permit, but there were no provisions in the existing law relative to that, so you had to, the code enforcement office had been inferring the fact that an application was required. But with regard to the zoning law having the authority to review uses and areas, they also have the authority to grant waivers. So if somebody came in with a application for a digital sign, and the 3-minute time frame was not compatible with the ability for them to successfully advertise, they could take the matter to the zoning board and ask for a use variance.
Right, because they would prove that they have a hardship, their sign is not compatible.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you know, the 3-minute is a start, and perhaps what we should do is as the interest in these signs develop, see whether that fits in compatibly with what these advertisers do in terms of how they regulate their own signs.
So they're called, in the Coxsackie law, they're called changing signs, meaning that the content changes. They have no timing.
No restrictions
on them.
But you're saying in this that it should change more frequently than once every 3 minutes, not to keep it...
No.
It shouldn't change.
Not
that defeats the purpose.
No, I sent the email correctly.
Yeah, today he sent a revision.
Correcting this?
We don't want the change to
occur more frequently
than 3 minutes.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, the thought was that if you're coming to a light, that it wouldn't change too often while you were sitting at the light.
Now, you're going to require them to fill out an application, so they're going to have to go to the planning board? Is there...
Not to the planning board.
For a sign approval?
Who grants the sign approval?
Code.
So can we just word the law where it would be at the your discretion, because every intersection is different, every spot of the road is different.
All the surrounding area is different.
We're a 99 square mile town. What happens in Palinville is the same thing that's going to happen in Means, kind of thing.
And what happens in a 55 mile per hour zone is not what's going to be a 35 mile per hour zone.
But then you're going to get into, well, they do it up in Palinville, why can't I do it down in Catskill?
Well, then he can justify it.
You can justify it about speed or
traffic.
I mean, I don't know if that's a legally smart way of doing it, you know, leaving it up to the discretion of the code enforcement instead of having something black and white for you to do that.
Try to make it go higher.
Yeah, Route 32A might appreciate a scrolling sign to slow the spheres down.
Well, to be honest, we would give our teeth for something that would slow people coming down off Hunter Mountain in Palinville.
That's true.
You know, because they do all this, and by the time they hit the straightaway, they're going 50.
Actually, you guys did a study at Palinville. There are certain things that do slow people down.
There are certain things that do slow people down.
Banners. Flags, banners.
Yeah. You know,
I forgot. I remember the presentation. Other things.
I don't know.
You know, one of the things I just discussed this with Elliot, and to Patrick's point, in that provision related to the 3-minute time limit, we could certainly add an additional sentence that the applicant could approach the code enforcement office for a waiver relative to the alteration of the time frame, in which case then it would be up to the discretion of the code enforcement officer to either keep it at 3 minutes or alter it.
Yeah, that would be during the time that they go over the application.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, and that way it would become more flexible.
What do you think, folks?
Oh, we're not voting on this.
No, I don't think we're doing anything other than
public hearing and everything else.
I don't know where 3 minutes came from. I don't. You know, it seems if I called it arbitrary.
There were statistics on
arbitrary and capricious. Would I be right?
If you were stopped at a light, you wouldn't see it change more than once.
Okay.
At worst.
All right. And then we really do have to figure out the state. So what you're telling me is when I'm at 32 and 23A at Story Farms, and there's billboards all over the place in their fields, you're saying that the state has some degree of influence over them and ownership?
Unless it's changed in the past 15 years.
Okay. So the only
Because most of them are in the state right away. Most of them aren't 30 feet. Most of them aren't 30 feet off the edge of the road.
Really?
The one on 9W up here is 10 feet off the edge of the road.
Yeah, but the ones that are sitting in Story's fields are not.
Where's the ones in Story's fields?
By the four corners. Right?
By the four corners. Cows are on one side, billboards on the other, as you're heading towards Carroll. Right-hand side. Anyway, is there anything else in here that we would like further follow-up on before we...
I'd like to know if there's any highway statistics on, you know, if there's any information on how long a sign or how distracting.
I'd like to see that too, but it's going to be difficult because it is a brand new... Especially
for a long time.
Well, I think anybody can apply for a variance. So if we can clarify the state thing, we're comfortable with the 3-minute piece. I would prefer to have something rather than nothing as they evolve, because I don't think we want one that we have absolutely no say over.
Well, in our sign, we have certain size specifications already. You can't have a sign under a certain size. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
So we're protecting that aspect. This aspect we're talking about is just basically duration and how long it changes its message.
True.
So does the Does the one at the school change, or is it just the same message up all the time? Does anybody know?
That changes because of PTA day, school events, school sporting events.
But that's in the village. They don't have any laws on the books regarding those kind of signs.
Didn't they just put one up in Jefferson at the hospital? Oh, was it?
I don't think so.
Marshall and Sterling?
Yeah, Marshall and Sterling.
I thought the hospital just put one out front, too.
All right, so, LA, can we do a little more work on this?
With the brick around
it. And maybe see if any other towns, it doesn't look like Coxsackie's got anything. I don't think anybody else does.
Maybe Hunter might have a ski center.
Yeah, Hunter could.
I don't know.
But the biggest issue that you had when this first started was the zoning variance issue, which has been solved in here. And is everybody all right with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the biggest issue that we had was the zoning variance. Everybody's on the same page. Signs which physically move or have physically moving parts. Yep. All right. Any other questions on the signs? Otherwise, we'll circulate any other additional thoughts that you have. Elliot?
Yeah.
We'll do a further review. We'll certainly make the modification relative to Patrick's suggestion concerning the CEO granting waivers based upon looking at other municipalities. We'll get back to you relative to whether there's anything out there that can give us some more information concerning the time frame.
Sounds good. DOT.ny.gov, Elliot.
Can I just ask another question?
No.
As I'm reading through this?
No.
No? Well, I'm going to. I'm going to anyway, but you don't have to answer it. So it would apply to both commercial and residential properties, this law?
Mm-hmm. As it does now.
Right.
Pause.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, they don't have
to. Yeah.
It's a big difference in price with commercial and residential when you're buying property for a business.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a concern with advertising, just thinking of a restaurant wanting a scrolling sign. So I guess it's just something to think about. Think about all of the impact it would have.
So
I don't know why I keep seeing Asa Clubs in my mind. They never had a scrolling sign. But when we started talking about it, it popped in my brain. What happened when you didn't have wood? Think about that intersection, 32.
Yeah.
32.
So it looks like the state has a whole bunch of stuff on this. Did you see this on electronic signs? They have brightness, they have... anyway, I'll send you this link, see if this is of any help. I just saw it.
That's something that I would actually be more concerned about than how often it moves, is the brightness, because that can be blinding when you're driving. You notice that when you're driving, down south? At night, it kills your eyes. At least it kills my eyes. I'm getting old.
Me too. I hate to drive at night.
I can't.
I can't.
I'll take it off.
The brightness?
Not specifically the brightness, but
that is a distraction.
Okay. Presentation of the 2019 tentative budget is here.
We have it.
You officially have two parts, okay? By state law, you get the tentative, which is what we got tonight, which is basically all of the department heads providing us their dollars, and we now have a very thorough line item exercise by account code, et cetera. And then Kirsten has put together this file folder, which is kind of helpful notes. We ask that everybody take a look at this. Our first meeting is the 17th.
No, next Wednesday.
10th. Sorry about that. 10th. So you will be in the Bahamas.
We can FaceTime.
Yeah. Would you like to FaceTime?
Probably by that time in the evening would be a good idea.
So if you could take a look at any of this. The other thing is, I don't know if we officially ask the departments to do a 10% bond, but we may want to make sure that they've thought that through. So ask them to take, if you had to do with 10% less, where would you make those adjustments on your budget? Based on going through this the first time, that would help us. And as always, they have done a really, really good job on this.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done. Getting smaller, thinner, and more efficient.
Pencils. Yes, so we don't have to make multiple.
Everybody bring a pencil.
That's right, no more binders,
no more pens.
No more copy.
I thought
I saw a bunch of binders upstairs for Jared.
Yeah, no, that's true. There are five binders. I donated my binder to Jared. So that has been officially presented. And then the final item is just we got a request from the soccer club for a firework display on the 13th at the Wholesome Field to celebrate their 15th year.
I just need authorization. So I can issue a permit.
Is that from the town or do I need to vote? I don't need a vote, do I? No, we're fine with that.
No, it's Young's Explosive who's going to be doing the work. They've done the work every year before.
Yep.
So everything is in order.
Do you need a signature?
No signature. Okay. No.
Just let them let know Catskill Fire.
Yes, of course. Yeah, all the
emergency
folks. Great.
Excellent. Okay.
So I just have one thing.
Yes.
Did you see the email from Bob about the sidewalks in Palaville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he said they have a contractor on retainer that will do the sealing of the sidewalks.
Yeah. So can we talk? Should somebody talk to Sean then?
It's not something they can do. It's got to be done by because it's a highly toxic substance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want them to give an estimate on?
Yeah. Why don't we get an estimate and have Sean talk about it?
There are sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there were our sidewalks.
What does that mean?
They're on a state road.
So.
But once they finished them, they got turned over to the town.
No, to the property owners.
What?
So this was a note that. This was a note from County Highway Superintendent Bob Van Valkenburg. There's a couple of areas of spalling on the sidewalks. Sealing them would help the de-icing chemicals used on the road. We have a contractor on our county bid list for sealing bridge decks. Could connect you if you were interested in a quote for the work.
So the sidewalks technically are our responsibility?
No, technically they are not. This was, he has seen other communities do this, and he was just recommending it to us. I will be happy to follow whatever the board would recommend.
I mean, how do we move forward on that? What do you think?
Who decided to put sidewalks in? The state?
It was through a grant with the state, and
there was a petition presented by members of the community. 400 to 500 signatures.
To the town?
To the town.
And the town forwarded it to the state?
I think it was the county who said there were federal funds available. Federal funds came in and funded 80% of it, and the previous board prior to us secured a 20% match from the state. And so there is a sidewalk law within our town that says once sidewalks are existent, or if they are in existence, they are the responsibility of the homeowner to maintain. What Bob Van Valkenburg, the county highway superintendent, was saying is that he, as they were inspecting it, they saw some what they call spalling. We can get an estimate, and then we can decide what we want to do. Yes, that was done on Monday.
Good.
Last Monday. And we should get a final amount on the whole project so that the senator's office can match it. Why don't we see if we can get a bid?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if it's something that, you know, I mean, an ounce of prevention is not a bad thing to do for our constituents if we have it. If Sean has enough in his budget, if he doesn't, then, you know.
Well, it's definitely smart to maintain it up front.
Do it up front.
Rather than waiting until it's completely out of control and then it's going to be way more to replace them.
And the big debate about sidewalks and roads, right? So people who are on private roads are, at this point, generally 20 years in, there's potholes, you know, the ambulance can't get in, the garbage truck can't get in, and that's, you know, but they're not our roads, and we don't have the responsibility to maintain them, and a lot of them cost six figures to get them to the point where they can be handed over. Sidewalks are kind of the same thing. People are thrilled to have them, but it's not always consistently known that once they're in, it's your responsibility. So
I always understood, I mean, like, I knew it's your responsibility to...
We obviously
in snow, shovel, but I didn't realize that it was the homeowner's responsibility to maintain also.
Yeah.
Like, other than snow.
And this was the first winter of sidewalks, so there was a lot of people who go away to Florida, so there was nobody there to shovel. Of course, all these people were walking in the middle of the road on 23A going 50 miles an hour, so, you know, this is, it's kind of a transitional moment. Okay, audience? Oh, you were just here to observe?
I just wanted to stand up. I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Anna Palazzo. This is my wife, Persa Smith.
Uh-huh.
We were recently notified around the campground plans at 282 Cairo Junction. I know that's been kind of overseen at the planning board.
Uh-huh.
We love living here. We definitely have our own fair share of concerns about what's going on there. We wanted to be proactive. We wanted to come down here tonight to at least say that, you know, we are paying attention to what's going on. Didn't really know what appropriate next steps were in terms of how we can best engage this in an appropriate fashion, but also we wanted to just kind of hear if there was any developments here, because we want to, you know, continue engaging with the town, and we think it's important that, you know, we're proactive in this manner. So that's why I was here.
So any project like that resides in front of the planning board?
Correct.
Planning board is an independent body.
Okay.
In terms of the decision-making process. We happen to have our code officer and our attorney here tonight, so you can probably... Have you been to any of the meetings?
No.
Okay.
And that's why it came down. We just got a little...
So there was a woman that was here earlier, and she was asking the same questions. There is a secretary for the planning board that can provide you any minutes or notes or any of those kinds of things. She's in every day from 10 to 2. And then the planning board, it's at a status of, it's not at public hearing stage yet, or is it?
Not yet.
However, the planning board meetings are open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the first Tuesday.
Second and fourth Tuesday.
That's what we had.
Second and fourth Tuesday.
I figure it's important for at least to this one.
Sure.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Order, I figure it's probably good just to at least put a face.
Yep. These are processes that are in place to test everything eight ways a Sunday. You know, the one thing that you can't stop is people selling their land.
Correct.
And wanting to other people, you know, I mean, this is kind of business and capitalism and economic development, and all those things have to coexist with, you know, an environment that, frankly, hasn't had much economic development. So there's a balance here that I think everyone is trying to get their feet wet upon.
I mean, to say that, you know, we've been living here now for almost 2 years, and to say that the growth and expectations of what this area is trying to bring is very promising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the idea itself and its concept is not bad. But I definitely see some pros and cons to it that I think definitely from a long-term perspective, where I've seen it in other towns where it hasn't executed to according to this person's plan,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, what happens if they don't make their ROI on this deal?
Mm-hmm.
What happens, you know, I see it played out time and time again just driving around.
Mm-hmm. No, those are questions we've all had too.
Yeah.
Some of us have been to the planning board meetings to see what's going on. So
yeah,
those are all questions that you would be open to ask at the planning board or get answers to.
Great.
There's also a very fairly aggressive assessment of all of those things that you're talking about: size, density, traffic, seeker. You know, it's a rigorous process. And not everybody, you know, and it, so far as I've observed this over the last couple of seasons of, you know, money coming back into the community, potentially some relief. Our property taxes here are probably 90% personal property, I would guess. I don't know. So the question is, how do we alleviate some of that, which is why the sewer and the gas went into Jefferson Heights, which, you know, was challenging in terms of people thinking whether that was a good idea or not. That allows you to put a hotel out on exit 21 so that those property taxes aren't just being shouldered by, in that particular community, largely retirement folks. So this is, you know, this is the first couple of years that there's actually been things coming here that there's that debate. And the not in my backyard exercise is a challenging one to have to work through, so... Come to the planning board meetings. I think they're well done, and there's a good, thorough assessment of current state. And also the planning board minutes and the zoning board minutes and any minutes for a meeting like this. They're all on our website.
Oh, yeah. I read them all.
Oh, good.
Up to this point. Okay. So, I just wanted to make sure that I was...
An overachieving constituent. I like it.
It affects me. I know it affects other people.
Sure.
Too,
absolutely. We're always looking for people to serve on either of those boards. So, you know.
Okay.
Got any free time on your hands?
I
send us a resume.
Hey, whatever is best for this community.
Great.
I'm all for it as long as I'm a taxpayer. So
absolutely.
I think that's, you know.
Great. Thank you.
The campground law, which was just enacted.
Right.
You know, that's an important consideration that in order to, you know, really supervise campgrounds, there was a 6 months review of various laws, and as a result of that, and as a result of public hearings, the town board passed a comprehensive campground law.
I did see some quotes.
And that will be published. It should be published now any day. After the town board enacts it, it takes 30 days for it to be published by the Secretary of State. That hasn't been done. It will be done shortly.
So my next step is go to the
planning
board.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing to do.
And the meetings start at 7 p.m.
Start at 7 and the agenda's up that morning or...
That afternoon.
That
yeah.
afternoon.
Or maybe a couple of days before, too. It depends upon their agenda.
A little more exciting than these meetings.
Oh, good. Excellent.
We'll see you on the third Wednesday then.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure thing.
We have finished our agenda. We do have an executive session that will require a motion and the presence of our attorney and our code officer and our clerk. We do not anticipate coming out of this meeting and going back into a public session other than to adjourn the public part of the meeting. And the purpose of this is on a legal and contractual issue.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Patrick? Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much, everyone.